want to give credit to Pastor Alistair Begg for some of the applications of today's message. He's a good old preacher who's been at the same church for 30 years in Cleveland. That's pretty incredible. And that's good application when it comes to church life. So if you ever can come across anything from him, it'll be a good thing for your soul. If you ever go to a sporting event, Pirates game, Steeler game, you'll notice that people do the same thing in unison, often without being encouraged or coaxed very much at all. At the beginning, everyone will stand, look for the flag, and sing the national anthem, or perhaps listen very attentively. And if your team scores a home run or a touchdown or something like that, people will clap and be excited and maybe high-five each other and be real excited. When something goes wrong, there's groans and pain. I've even cried at sporting events when my team just wasn't doing it. I've tried to not get so emotional, but this happens. And then also one of the most favorite activities when the authority figure, the umpire or the referee, does something wrong. There's a great cry out for the optometrist to come forward and change the prescription, please. And so if you were from another country, you would say, wow, these people are devoted to the same chief loyalty. They really are. And they're all together on one page about this whole thing. And to a greater extent and a more everlasting extent, when Christians get together, there's one purpose: to know Christ and follow Him. And God draws people to Himself in dedication to Him and in dedication to one another. God leads people to be devoted to Him. So you want to get that sense in your soul. Only He could do that for you. The guy next to you isn't going to be the ultimate source. Okay? God will. So you turn to Him, and as you observe the church, you say, well, same Father in heaven, same family, same focus, same concern for each other, same gift of eternal life, life with God forever. And, you know, you get to the point in your life where you say, I only have two choices. Jesus is Lord, or I am Lord. Self is Lord. And then what's it going to be? Okay, the clock's ticking and your life is going by. Only one big decision you have to make with God's help. Jesus is Lord, or you are Lord. You are Lord will manifest itself in a whole bunch of different things, but ultimately you're saying, no, I want my way. God says, well, Jesus, He's the way. So could you turn to Him, and as much as you know about Him, say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Or as Paul, at his conversion, he said, his conversion prayer was, who are you, Lord? At least he was open to God. Please do that, and God will make you one purpose with other people. And you'll be a part of something that goes on and on forever. It's a humbling thing. One of the reasons I think that the church doesn't have a great reputation in the world today is it's better to reach out and do ministry in the everyday than with a lot of, you know, fanfare and pomp and this and other and other things, because the gift of Christ is so wonderful that we dare not think that, you know, we've attained something from Him. Rather, we received everything. And so in Acts chapter 1, you see the early Christians getting together. They met constantly for prayer. We saw that last week in Acts chapter 1. You want to get that calling, get together with other Christians and pray. God doesn't say only if you're outgoing. God doesn't say only if you have time for it. But get together with other Christians and pray. Do that. It's part of the calling of God in your life. Acts chapter 2, God fills everybody with His Holy Spirit. That's good. You know, immersed in God, you can't follow God without God. And remember, every time the Bible talks about God, the Bible's talking about Father, Son, one God. We don't have three. And be immersed in God. And then, at the end of Acts chapter 2, God describes how this God-immersed group of people get together and what they do when they get together. And we can ask that we be devoted to the same activities. These activities in the book of Acts, I think one of the important things. These are activities that God helped the people with. God helped the people with these. It didn't come naturally, automatically, with great fervor. God drew them to fervor. That standard's really high, and I'm pretty close, but most of my brothers and sisters in Christ, they're a bunch of fucking mucks. They're not like I am. But God says, no, this is what can happen for any Christian. Way up here that you have to attain, it's a great gift that God would bring down to you in the person of His Son. Okay? So He'll help you and me to do this. Because on our own, we can do this. That's part of the message of the book of Acts. And so here's some qualities of the devoted, Spirit-filled church. And just ask God to help you follow in these ways. Lean on God, lean on each other. Okay, here we go. Spirit-filled church is devoted to the apostles' teaching. That is, devoted to learning doctrine. Okay, learning doctrine. I don't know if the word doctrine gets you excited. It simply means a teaching from God. Okay, Bible truth. Bible truth as opposed to your thinking and my thinking, which is pretty shoddy. Okay, Bible truth is very strong. It's life-changing. It was true for all time. It'll be true for all time in the future. And learning God's Word, we learn Bible doctrine to get to know Jesus. This is His revelation of His heart to us. And we learn Bible doctrine to do what the Bible says. Okay, so if you ever want, what am I supposed to do as a Christian? You know, just here it is. A sixth grader could pick it up and read it. And start to do it with God's help. So be committed, be devoted to the apostles' teaching. It was one of the first things in my life that I really loved to do as a believer. You give me a Bible, stick me in a corner, I could stay there all day. And sometimes I did. Didn't do much good to anybody else at that point. But I liked Bible truth. On Wednesday we took Bible doctrine, truth. You gotta love truth. That's good. Love truth as from Jesus. Love truth to do the truth. Great doctrines of the Bible we should love. Praying, who God is. Spend eternity getting to know Him. Okay, starting now. Who God is. He's everywhere. He's all powerful. He knows everything. The person and work of Christ. Wow. All the Let's learn how to handle your finances. Great. We stink at finances. Let's do that. Those seminars on. You know. God says, wait a minute. You get the person and work of Christ in your soul. You're going to be a good dad. You're going to be a good husband. See, because you'll know who God is. And those other things will start to fall in line. So, Bible doctrines, Bible truth, getting in, into your soul. Opportunities to do this that people jump into. First of all, daily devotions. You know, start where you're at. Lord, open your heart to me that I might live. And hearing your voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. That's what I want from God. And we could do that. You and I can do that. Those people throughout the history of the church, remember, did not have access to the Bible. Just in the past 400 years. So we're the new kids on the block with this. It's a pretty big responsibility. Okay. And so we take the Bible and we say, Lord, help us. There's probably four or five opportunities. They're the loudest, wildest Bible study in the church. Monday morning, down the hall, I hear them coming. I shut my door. No. Godly women who love the Lord, right? Amen. So that's Monday morning. Tuesday night recently, bunch of guys. Come on, Lord, help us. Helping each other, getting into the Word, very fervent, hard-headed, stubborn fellows. God's changing their hearts. It's a good thing. Tuesday night, get it. Wednesday, you have from the two-year-olders, have maybe as occasionally 75-year-olders, getting together in certain areas and saying, help us follow God. Come on. Devoted to the what? Apostles' teaching. We don't get together because, you know, we have the greatest personalities in the world. We have good ones. But we get together to love God and know Him in His Word. Jump in there. You could do that. Truth Project people. There's a group meeting to know God in culture. Bounce the truth off the culture. You find out where they're meeting. They're underground. We don't know when they're meeting. But there's all kind of opportunities. I gather together with God's people to learn. If I read the Bible on my own, I will learn. But if I read the Bible with you, I'll learn twice as much about Jesus. Okay? Or group. That's good. And don't be so fussy about, you know, who you meet with and what you're learning. What would you think of me if I said, you know, I go out to restaurants, but the only restaurant I go out to is Oakhurst Tea Room up by Donegal, Somerset area. Because they have, you know, really everything. They have everything I like. Forget about everything, local things around here. You'd think, well, you're bizarre. And also you're a little bit too selfish and finicky there, Daniels. You know, going all. Hey, God gives you a lot of believers to meet with, study His Word, know His Word, seek after Him, and it's a good quality to have. And you know, God's truth impacts the culture. Joe Cox did a great job on this in Sunday school. Shelley does all the time, and other Bible teachers we have here. You know, you take the Bible truth and say, well, we don't want to be just get flushed down the toilet like the rest of life itself. And we say, what are we going to do? The educational systems are forgetting God and media outlets and political parties and the way we look at family life. And oh my, look at all this. And they're overwhelming this poor little book over here. No. Word of God stands forever. Okay, you take the Bible with believers following it, pretty soon this impacts the culture. And we spread the light and the salt and the truth of God to a very hurting world. You know, we do it in such a way that's very humble. Prevents us from what Pastor Beck said, escapism. In other words, let's get away from all these horrible friends, and it prevents us from conformism too. Well, let's just fit in and forget about the truth. But Paul said these are the very words of God. Be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Wouldn't you know that would take the longest in the application? And the spirit-filled church is devoted to the fellowship, to doing life together. Now, I think in the American church, and in my life in particular, this is the weakest part of following Jesus. That's just where I am. I stink at fellowship. To sit down, you know, and have a donut with you, I've learned how to do that. I could eat two donuts now with you. But initially, it's difficult. I don't really know a lot about you. I don't want you to know a lot about me. You know, sit down. What are we going to talk about? I don't know. We talk about the Lord. That means let's see. 2 weeks ago, I was reading something about Him. Made an impact on my life. We're afraid to be toward each other. But fellowship is a key, devoted to the fellowship. Faithfulness can only be done together, no lone ranger of Christians. Where are you at with fellowship? Again, excuse the illustration. Don't be so fussy about who you have fellowship with. I told you, you know, I'm going to Mars, Pennsylvania this week, meet with some Christians because I need fellowship. You know, you guys, I just move so my car could pull out of the parking lot 45 miles that way to find somebody I can relate to. No, I obviously got the wrong message. Okay, Christians, there's Christians on every other block. In your neighborhood, in my neighborhood, you know, you're surrounded by Christians in at least, you know, 95% of the pews here today. So you're devoted to the fellowship. Realistically knowing that gather together to meet Christ and give and take, there'll be love, there'll be friction. Not every gathering will be lovey-dovey time because it's not in your house, right? When you sit down for breakfast, it's not like, this is fantastic. I'm so glad to do this. You share life together, equal concern, one for another. God can build that into our souls one step at a time. Be patient with yourself as you do this, especially if you're a leader, by the way, some of these categories. By leader, I mean if you're a member of a board, if you're a Sunday school teacher, some you know, visible ministry. We should find these things big in your life. Big. Or at least saying, you know, I'm moving in that direction. Fellowship is a reflection of the cross where Jesus surrendered his life for us. And we lay down our life for our friend. Fellowship is a reflection of the cross where Jesus laid his life down for us and we lay down our life for our friend. One sports illustration that works, which I realized a couple months ago, when the Super Bowl occurred, the 49ers, San Francisco, were playing Baltimore Ravens. It's an old news at this point. But almost everybody thought the 49ers are going to win. All the people in Las Vegas thought the 49ers are going to win. They had millions of dollars. They take it very seriously. Put it on the 49ers. This is how we make our daily bread. 49ers had the most talent, the most speed, the most strength. They had the most Pro Bowl players. They had the more enthusiastic coach. That's one group. These Ravens over here, most of us don't like them, but one thing the Ravens did, the Ravens were willing to die for one another. They were in it together. No doubt about it. One guy messed up, the other guy would come and pick him up. And they were fierce. One for all and all for one type fierceness. They won. And the Spirit-filled church, we learn how to live life together, to live and die for each other. A lot of times, we could pick any Christian, but Wayne Painter, he really lived and died with other believers. He really did. It's a good... His life's a good model. Devoted to the fellowship. It's a good thing. Devoted to worship. Gathering. Praising God. Both in our homes and in the big gathering. The big gatherings are still a big challenge for us. I mentioned before. Please get to first base on this. See, if you go to church once a week, that's 1% of your waking hour for the week. Get to first base on that. Push yourself. And say, with God's help, I can do this. You know, we're horrible at this. And we need God's help. And frankly, seek God for it. Because I don't know which direction to go. We can go the legalistic route, you know. Or we can go the freedom route apparently isn't working because total lack of discipline, particularly in the membership of the church, to get to worship. I don't know how in the world people come and make decisions about anything when they don't worship together. That's baffling to me. It's like me showing up at your son's hockey club meeting and voting on something, you know. People say, what are you doing here? Well, we need God's help. Gather for worship. Gather for commitment. gather to honor Christ and have the heart be right, and the form will go along with it. If we read the 1 Chronicles chapter 23, King David, he's excited about worship and building the temple. He gets 4,000 people and gives them musical instruments. He says, play. Play to honor God. 4,000. Some of them were cymbals, tambourines, stringed instruments, flutes. Most of the things, if there were, you know, if those were those in worship, I'd bring my earplugs in from home. David said, do this to honor God. The form might be different, but the heart is where it's at. Because you want to honor God together as His people. Come to worship. Come to bless somebody else. I often pray in worship, Lord, in worship today, I might not know all the songs, and I certainly wouldn't know about everything I'm talking about from the pulpit, but help me to love You and love people around me. Two or three people. You'll have a great worship time with God if you do that. Devoted to worship, devoted to prayer. We talked about this a lot last week. To know God for the revival of the church. Who else would you rather talk with anyway? I don't know if this illustration works, but it was given very childlike. Super Mario apparently is a game that you play on some machine thing. Super Mario. And Mario runs along and does things. He's a little fella. And apparently, occasionally he has to jump up. And if he bumps something, it looks like he's slowing up, but actually good for him to bump certain things. So Dad was looking at what was going on. He says, why don't you just keep running? Why do you stop and bump your head over there? He said, no, well, that's the way he gets his power, by jumping up. Is that how it works a little bit? Well, when we pray, we say we need God. That's how we get our strength. We pray. And we could say, Lord, help us. And then a quality that God put in the church, a group who was blessed with salvations and miracles. The paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof. He needed help physically. Jesus would do that for him. But the first thing Jesus dealt with when he sees this man who can't do anything, he looks at him and he says, son, your sins are forgiven. And everybody's like, wow, this is something too big for us. This must be God, or this man thinks he's God or something. The forgiveness of sin given to two people. Could you ask God for that? God added to the people back then. So who saves people? God saves people. How many people did you ever save? None. How many people did Billy Graham ever save? None. How many people does God save? About 125,000 every day. And somewhere along the line, many of us by the grace of God. And we don't know why, but He puts us in this, puts us in His body and says, be devoted. Okay, be devoted. Be devoted to these activities. And it's only from devotion to God, and only He could help us with it. And let's pray and ask His help in these matters. Lord, it's good to walk with You and to lean on each other as we go. We lean on each other to bump into each other and also to pick each other up, to strengthen one another, sometimes to carry one another. And we need a lot of care, Lord Jesus, from You. We need strength. But thank You for calling us to know Yourself and follow You. This is amazing, still amazing grace. And so is every part of being a part of a devoted group of Christians. Help us be this way, Lord, with humility. Be with those in particular, Lord, just feel led that some of us here followed Jesus really well 15 years ago. We were great. And now we're not sure what we think about the Lord or many other people. But bring us to Yourself so that we might strengthen Your body and give Your good news to other people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Spirit be with each of us. Amen.